The Lord be with you. Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship this morning at First Presbyterian Church. We are so glad that all of you could join us today. Welcome, too, to those of you at home watching on Facebook Live. We're glad you could be here. At this point, if you look inside the bulletin for this morning, you'll find announcements of upcoming events in the life of the church, ways to stay connected with the congregation through the season of Advent. Of course, at home, you can look farther down the Facebook page where you'll find a PDF link to this morning's bulletin. This afternoon from 2 to 4 will be our Family Advent Festival upstairs in Hollis Hall. Families with children especially are welcome to come join in crafts and some storytelling for the season. Of course, children of all ages are welcome too if you'd like to join in. Again, that'll be from 2 to 4. We're continuing to collect our special offering during the seasons of Advent and Christmas, the Presbyterian Church USA's Christmas Joy Offering. So please consider making a gift to support some retired clergy or people in need in the life of the church. You can make a memo line and a check or find one of the offering envelopes out on the table in the commons. Although it's the second week of Advent this morning, we're continuing to distribute our Advent devotional resources. Those are also on the commons table for families. We have a special book, and then for anyone who would like to join in, Reflections from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, God is in the Manger. We still have plenty of books available, so please take one home and join us in our preparations for Christmas ahead. Last but certainly not least, I'd like to invite Leanna Grenier forward, the chair of our Montreat Committee, to share a little bit about this spring's Montreat Retreat. It's our 2020 retreat, so everyone get excited. Come on.
There's a little bit of deja vu here. We went on an all-church retreat in 2018. We had a great time. And then we planned, of course, for that to happen again in 2020. And here we are with our new dates, April 29th through May 1st in 2022. And we would love to have you join us. If you have any questions, you can ask me, you can ask Laura Goines, Jean Jones, or any of your church family and friends who have been before. Hopefully we're cycling through a few pictures here, and there's some more out in the commons. It's really just a time to join together with church family to enjoy God's beautiful world and the picturesque and peaceful mountains of Western North Carolina. We fellowship, we worship, and we just generally spend time getting to know each other better. And it really is a relaxing retreat, a retreat in the true spirit of the term, except for enjoying the natural surroundings. We will gather for a time of learning. Specifically, we'll be deepening our awareness of the creation that God has given us and focus on our intentional existence in that creation. Our goal really is time together, time to explore Montreat, Black Mountain, Asheville, hiking, playing, whatever your goals might be for the weekend, I bet we can fit those in. We stay in the Assembly Inn at Montreat, more or less a hotel kind of accommodations. You'll have your own room and bathroom. At least per family. We will provide child care, so we want all ages to come and hopefully actually really allow for some relaxation for parents and children alike. If you want to just hear more, you want to help plan, we have a team meeting coming up next Sunday, December 12th, right after church. We would love to have you join us. If you have ideas about programs you would like to see, if you just have a car big enough to take some snacks, we would love to have you join the team. And if you are already registered for 2020, you are still registered for 2022. You should have gotten an email from the church office. If you have questions about that, you can contact Aaron in the church office or me, and we can help sort that out. If you have not registered for 2020 and you would like to register for 2022, there's plenty of time. Again, contact the church office or let us know. If you would like to go, we'll get a registration form to you. There's a sign up outside. It's really just so that we can be sure we're getting everybody information that needs to. So if you're interested, please be sure your name is there and check out the pictures.
Thank you, Leanna, and thanks to our planning team. I know it shouldn't be too much of a hard thing to ask folks to come to Montreat. So I hope you can block off those dates on your calendar as we learn about creation and our place in it as we have some worship and some fellowship together. Of course, this morning we are gathered for worship for the God who meets us anywhere and who meets us here in this place and expecting the coming of Jesus Christ this season. Let us worship God together. And let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ together.
Please stand for the lighting of the Advent candles. We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ, as the Lord has promised in days to come. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling will lie down together, and a little child shall lead them. And let us pray. We glorify you, for we hear the announcement of angels that are coming to us. By your Spirit, be present to us again. Let the words of your promise awaken us to hope. Let the silence of prayer bring us to your peace. Let songs of praise stir us to joy. Let the worship of this community welcome us into your love. Let all these things prepare us to receive you in Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Thank you. may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together. First, in silence, let us pray. And together we pray. Holy God, as we expect the coming of Jesus, your Son, we remember that the world you made is not as it should be, and we remember that we are a part of it too. Prophets call us to peace and justice. We prefer our own safety and comfort and sit at ease while creation suffers. We hear stories about people who said yes to your plans. We prefer our own ways and follow the desires of our hearts instead. Angels announced the coming of Jesus with joy and music. We prefer to sit apart where our only song is complaint. Lord, we need you now. We need nothing less than the grace and love of Jesus to renew us and restore us. Your forgiveness, which alone can mend our brokenness and return us to you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Only Christ, and Christ died for us, Christ rose for us, Christ reigns in power for us, Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Micah, chapter 3. Listen for God's word. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, until the present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and in former years. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
We continue our Advent preparations through readings in the early chapters of the Gospel of Luke. Last week we heard the story of Zechariah in the temple worshiping God on behalf of the people, receiving the miraculous announcement of good news that he and his wife in old age will bear a son named John, who will prepare the way for the Savior. Today we read a similar story, but one even more miraculous. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her that she will bear God's son. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Listen for God's word to you. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Surprise us with good news once again, God of grace, that your Holy Spirit would come upon us, that your power would overshadow us, that we might see and receive the Christ child too, according to your word. We pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. My favorite depiction of this week's story isn't actually the Gospel of Luke, although I know I shouldn't say that. Instead, over the years, I've been enchanted by the Renaissance fresco of Fra Angelico that shows Mary and Gabriel mirror images of one another. And were it not for our beautiful liturgical banners, it would be the bulletin cover this week, as it has been every time I have ever preached on this story. So see if you can Google it sometime, and if you're discreet, you can do it now. So in the painting, Mary clutches her stomach, slightly hunched, a moment of shock, except that her face, also showing the gravity of the situation, appears to be at peace. It's both the "how can this be" and also the "here am I, servant of the Lord" aspects of the story, which we'll get to in a little bit. But on the other side of the painting, there's also the angel Gabriel, who holds himself in a mirror image of Mary. Maybe it's a sign of the divine acknowledgement of human experience, which is implicit in the idea of the incarnation with God. God mirrors us in the incarnation, becoming Jesus, so that over time, learning stories like these, we might prepare for a world where we will resemble the image of God in Jesus Christ. I first saw the image of the painting as a young person at a traveling exhibition at the Met some years ago. But the spell hasn't been broken. And what I saw in a museum originally belonged at the top of the staircase of a chapter house in a convent in Italy, so that every morning and every evening, sisters would walk underneath the painting, understanding their own work in life as birthing holiness into the world, that their lives of repentance and faith might be preparation to welcome the presence of God too, because that's what Advent is. We prepare to receive the Christ child in our own lives. So the 4 weeks of Advent that lead up to Christmas are meant for repentance and preparation. We're preparing to receive God in a new way, just as Mary did in the Annunciation, the common name for today's story. So Advent, which is derived from the word coming, points to the coming of Jesus Christ, the child born in Bethlehem, the promise that God is coming to us in some future horizon, just as God did before. So we do our best to prepare. We read scripture, we go to church, we pray. We keep calendars, we get the devotional book from the table in the commons, and we take it home and we read it every single day. And we walk in the story in our own way so that over time, we too can receive and realize the presence of God. This is the preacher's Advent, because that's probably not what your month looks like, at least not exclusively, because you have a lot to do too. You have to get your home ready. Maybe the decorations are up, maybe not. You're getting Christmas cards out. You're peeling old recipes out of sticky cookbooks that have been well-loved. And even if it doesn't always seem this way, somehow the month happens, you get through it, you do your best to pull off Christmas according to everyone's expectations. And that's a job well done. And so by the time December 26th rolls around, you nap and you hope your family goes home soon. So it's hard to think about Advent in that other way and what we're really preparing for. It's hard to think about our role in the myriad problems of the world that need a savior. We still live in a world of violence and war, of environmental degradation, of racial injustice, not to mention a continuing pandemic. And maybe once in a while we wake up long enough to realize that as people of faith, something about this has to do with us. So how do we respond? And that's a hard question. Because most of our lives are trying to figure out what's for dinner and juggling schedules to get people where they need to be. You may not even have your Christmas tree up yet, and you want me to tackle environmental degradation and racial injustice? How can you even begin to prepare for something like that? So I think the irony in this story this morning is how dissimilar Mary's preparation for Jesus is compared with ours. Most of us have had December 25th circled on our calendar since we were children. In some ways, our lives are organized around all of these changing seasons, with the peaks and valleys of holidays or holy days or Christmas lights coming on near the darkest days of winter. And we organize our lives around school schedules and work schedules and even church schedules, all of which coalesce around these holy days. But this season of preparation gives us as many questions as answers, because how can you prepare for what is in essence the surprising and near unbelievable action of God? So one of Matthew's kingdom parables has it, "Keep awake, therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour." How do you prepare for the coming of Jesus when it is typically construed as a surprise? You would hate it if I knocked on your door in April and told you, "It's Christmas, get everything going again." And there are probably a few things in your life you've had to prepare for. You've had long years of study that have led you to a degree, or projects at work that have given you a sense of accomplishment and completion. Maybe you even remember those seasons of preparation for your own children, with the doctor's visits and the buying and the gradual dawning awareness that your life was about to change forever, and that was part of the joy. And that's the preparation we want, the sense of what's coming in the future is surely going to be better than the past, and that we are going to be transformed. But this morning, that announcement of God's future reality comes as a shock. And as the angel's news comes to Mary, it may not sound all that good. The good part is she is to bear a son, the son of the Most High God, who will sit in the seat of his ancestor David. It's everything Israel has ever wanted. The injustices of the world are going to be righted. And to this point in her life, Mary's path has been a conventional one of childhood and growth and the prospect of marriage and family in her own life. And now the word of God has come to her, and her future becomes something out of her grasp, beyond her imagination, something for which she can never be prepared. And that announcement might cost Mary something, too. The Gospel of Matthew narrates these events from the perspective of Joseph, who, finding his betrothed pregnant, decides to dismiss her. And this is meant to be seen as a credit to Joseph. He doesn't want to make trouble for Mary. He intends to dismiss her quietly, but he's a man of integrity. He won't live a lie with a child that is not his own. That's Matthew's point. We might think Mary a little naive then. The angel appears to her and in an instant turns her life upside down, derails everything, and after one curious question, she affirms her willingness to submit her life to God's plan. Here am I, servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word. How do you get faith like that? Because to me, that doesn't seem like something you can ever really prepare for. So I'll say that even in the ancient world, they had trouble with this story. And on the one hand, the prophetic announcement of the birth of a notable person was a common trope. That's going to happen for anyone who's special. But on the other hand, Mary's practical consideration, how can this be because I'm a virgin, engendered enough skepticism to make this story unbelievable. It was an early argument by the pagans against Christian belief. But I would say that that's not even the challenging part of the story. Mary, who we know so little about, was an innocuous, otherwise inconspicuous person, an anonymous woman waiting for her marriage. And maybe there were children in her future, but this might be some time down the road. What's challenging isn't the announcement of a child, that's to be expected, or even the miraculous way it seems to occur. You've been in church long enough, you can suspend disbelief, go with me. The miracle of the story is the speed from which Mary moves from fear and wonder. Do not fear, the angel tells her. How can this be? To the ultimate affirmation, here am I, servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word. This is what Mary risks with that move from disbelief and fear to faith. She risks the vision she had for her life, the promise of a future, of marriage, of family, of even community. She might be ostracized. All of this is cut short because of the promise of God. And maybe this is how God appears to us too. Less the preparation and more the surprise. And maybe that's what we want, that light of God that bursts forth outside of ourselves to lighten up the darkness of the world. The moments we prepare for may be different from the ones that actually meet us in the surprise of life. The sense of calling, the realization of new love, the news of a child. Or even the challenges of your life that can happen in an instant. The life turned upside down with bad news from family or a phone call from the doctor or a flash in the rearview mirror. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. Sometimes, as in the instance of the story today, it can be both the surprise that knocks Mary's breath away, keeling her over into stunned disbelief, but also the gradual and dawning acceptance of good news that brings her to deeper faith. Because if your life has ever been turned upside down in an instant, no matter the news, it takes a minute for you to catch your breath, to get your feet set, to grapple with the reality of difference in your life. Maybe it takes a while to get to, "Here am I, servant of the Lord." How do you get faith like that? And the bad news and the good news is absolutely nothing. There is no devotional book we can give you that will give you this faith. There is no song we can sing or prayer we can say or sermon we can speak. There is nothing we can do because, as the story makes clear, it's the action of God that's at work the entire time. So the angel of the Lord appears and the grace of God pours out. Listen to what Gabriel says. "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Nothing will be impossible with God." And so the question for us, the question as it was for Mary, is how in the world could we ever respond differently? God announces this kind of grace. How could we ever say anything but, "Here am I"? So, remembering the distinguishing marks of his faith and his years of preparation for religious leadership, the Apostle Paul asserted his religious credentials to the church in Philippi. He says, "If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." So Paul in his life was prepared for anything God could possibly ask him to do. And if he sounds arrogant about that, he is. That's the point. Paul is a little insufferable. That's why everyone keeps trying to put him in jail. But he's insufferable to the point that he realizes that his preparations have very little to do with the actual life of faith God has called him to lead. That alone is determined by the action of God, which knocks him off his feet on the Damascus road. And so in Philippians, he continues, "Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." So how do you prepare for a surprise like that? And the challenge of grace that meets you. How do you prepare for the loss, the grief, the doubt, the pain, the disappointment, that sense that your life has been irrevocably altered and there is nothing you can do to bring it back? The answer is you can't. You can only wait on the Savior, who comes to be born in places that look just like your grief or your disappointment or your wandering, questioning, broken hope. So that maybe over time you hear the word of God spoken to you as it was spoken to Mary. "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Nothing will be impossible with God." And now you know what to say. "Here am I, servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word." In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. In gratitude and thanksgiving at the announcement of good news, we return our gifts to God. The offering plates remain in the back of the church. If you would like to leave an offering today, you can also follow the instructions on the web address in your bulletin. You can also pray about how God is calling you to receive the gift of Jesus Christ. Let us worship God with our gifts. You may be seated. The good news is that God is coming to us once again in Jesus Christ. The good news is that God in Jesus Christ meets us here at this table to which you are all invited. Jesus says, "Come you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled." The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of all things. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. You set us in this world to love and serve you and to live at peace with all that you have made. When we turned from you, you did not turn from us. When we were captives in slavery, you delivered us to freedom and made covenant to be our God. You spoke to us through prophets who looked for the day when justice and peace shall reign over all the earth. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with heavenly hosts,
who forever sing to the glory of your name. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You sent him into the world to satisfy the longings of your people for a Savior, to bring freedom to the captives of sin, to establish justice for the oppressed. He came among us as one of us, taking the lot of the poor, sharing human suffering. We rejoice that in his death and rising again, you set before us the sure promise of a new life, the certain hope of a heavenly home where we will sit at table with Christ our host. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. And as this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you. For so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God." This morning, we ask you to remain seated to receive communion. Elders and I will distribute the elements to you in your seats. Gluten-free wafers will be available. We ask that you remain masked until the elders and I leave your immediate area and then partake. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Grace to awake us to sin.
and let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for your good news which meets us anew each season, particularly this season when we prepare for your coming in the Savior Jesus Christ. Help those of us who are fed by his grace here to offer the food of your word, your hope, your peace, your joy, and your love for the sake of a hungry world. We remember those you have called us to love and serve, for the poor and the homeless, for the sick and the suffering, for victims of oppression and injustice, and for those who do not know your love. For the sake of all these, we ask you that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us to send us out as faithful disciples to offer something of your healing and your peace through the promise of Jesus Christ. These and all our prayers we offer in Christ's name and ask that you hear us as we pray in the way Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. When the surprise of God meets you, and it will, now you know what to say. God's grace will greet you. Do not fear. The Spirit of God will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you, and a child will be born for you, and you say, Here am I. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.